Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Mrs. Beverly Regensburg works with our state convention in helping our churches become aware of our ministry to Californians reaching the state for Jesus Christ. There's much work to be done, and it seems like there are few resources to get the work done. But she is going to come and challenge us today, and I pray you will, with an open mind, consider the information that she has to bring to us. What can I do? What can my family do? What can we as a church do to work with other churches, to work in the kingdom of Christ, to bring Californians to faith in our Savior? So, Miss Beverly, will you come and share with us, please? Good to have you here today.
Do you remember from the DVD? What did it say? The Great Commission begins here. You guys were paying attention. That's great. The Great Commission does begin here. It begins here in this church, just as Pastor Gary said. It begins here in the sanctuary. It begins here this morning in each of your hearts, in my heart. It begins because we choose to be obedient. Our scripture verse is Acts 1:8, and Christ says, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Well, I know this church. I was here actually a year ago in October with you guys, and Tim came up to the front, and the church prayed for him. So, man, it's so cool today to come back and rejoice with you as he is home. But I also know of your heritage. I know that you are a giving church. I know that you are a serving church. And I know that you're a caring church. It doesn't take but a moment just to look at your bulletin or on your website to see what all you're involved in. So, to be honest with you, I'm preaching to the choir, aren't I? Wrong term, but anyway, close to that. Well, I'm here this morning to share with you about the California Mission Offering. It's very appropriate for me because I love California, I love missions, and I don't really love money, but, you know, when you have to ask for it, it's a good thing to ask for. Well, there's an underlying reason why we have California Mission Offering, or CMO, I'll probably refer to that too. And the main reason is because the need is urgent to reach our state for Christ. Emily's song was perfect. Man, everything has been leading up to this moment for us to think about how we can reach our state for Christ. There's three ways that were up on the video too: our prayers, our sharing, and our giving. First of all, our prayers. We need to pray for individuals and churches, missions, our missionaries, our pastors, our church bodies. There's so much to pray about in order to reach our state for Christ. The second is that we need to share. We need to be involved personally. We need to be on mission and share our testimony with others. And then the third one, our gifts. We need to give financially. We need to give financially in a big way because of the finances right now in our state. Man, it's hitting everybody, isn't it? Well, we want to give so that ministries and missionaries are able to be deployed to do the work that they have said that they will do, that they have told God that they would do. Well, in our video earlier, you saw the big picture is that there are 38 million people in California. 33 million of those are unchurched. That's almost 9 out of 10 people in California who are unchurched. California Southern Baptist Convention has 2,100 churches and missions, almost 500,000 people. Our CMO offering this year is $450,000. Now, did you hear me? I said we have about 500,000 members in CSBC. Our goal is 450,000. That's not even a dollar a person, is it? Well, I happen to be nosy sometimes. My husband's a pastor at a church in Fresno, and there was a letter from our state, president, maybe, Rob Zinn. Did you get that letter, too? And he had a statistic in there, and I was shocked. Of our 2,100 churches, last year, 374 churches gave to the California Mission Offering. We gave $341,000, but still, what happened to all those, 1,500 more churches? So when you're praying, would you also pray for those churches too, that God would place on their heart the need to give, the need to cooperate? There is another underlying reason why CMO is so important, and that is that we use the money to buy mission dollars from the North American Mission Board. It's almost a 4-to-1 ratio. So for every $100,000 that we spend, we receive almost $400,000. We use coupons at my house. That's not even close, is it? That kind of ratio. I believe it's because California still is deemed a pioneer state. That's the old term. I don't know what the new term is. I haven't heard it. But pioneer states, ones who have great numbers of people who are unsaved, they get to buy mission dollars from NAM, North American Mission Board. So anyway, that's another reason why we need to give. Well, there's another part of the big picture. It's estimated, you saw this, that there are 275 people groups in California, of which, on any given week, 75 of those language groups have some type of ministry in their language. Well, we're going to look at some prayer concerns and ministry concerns, ways our CMO money is used, and I want to introduce you first to Dr. William Nathaniel. Here he is. He is the language church starting strategist. He's located in Mountain View, California. Well, Dr. Nathaniel wasn't Dr. Nathaniel when he came to California in 1998. He was coming to work on his doctorate. He thought that the United States of America only had white people in it. And he also, when he packed his bags to come, he put in Indian spices so he would have something to eat that he liked. He was shocked when he came, and he saw streets filled with stores for Indian people. Anything he wanted was there, and the other thing that shocked him was that the Indians were living right there where he came. He came to Berkeley. Well, he had been born and raised in India. He became a Christian at the age of 12 after realizing that even though his parents were Christians, he needed to have a personal relationship with Christ. And through that, area of the country in India that he was growing up in was heavily dominated by Swedish Baptists who have a great passion for evangelism. And so he also began telling people about Jesus. And it was just very natural for him to start churches. Within the first week that he was in Berkeley, he had a grouping of 7 families from India and Pakistan who began having Bible study in his home. Well, William planted churches in California for 4 years before he joined the California Southern Baptist Convention as the language church starting strategist. This was in 2007. He's in the Bay Area, but he serves South Asian peoples throughout the state. He said, "I am thankful to the Southern Baptist Convention to the California Southern Baptist Convention for their language work. Even when I was not associated with CSBC, I realized after meeting the convention leadership that this was the only church denomination that is aggressive in reaching people from other cultures. Other denominations are not excited about church planting. I just want to thank the leaders for their heart and calling to minister to the people groups of California. The work is slow, but we must work hard, each of us, so that we can explain to them who Jesus is. We do not have to go all the way to India or Nepal or Bangladesh to share the gospel. I believe strongly in evangelism, and we can all be missionaries right here on our own doorsteps. Dr. Nathaniel thanks the convention. That means you too. So thank you for your part in helping him with his ministry. Well, I also have a picture. This is my doorstep. I want to introduce you to Anya Deep and Banya Deep. This summer, our church did something different. We had vacation Bible school. We did Saddle Ridge Ranch, but we did it at an apartment complex. And God confirmed while we were there something that he has been leading us to do for a few years, just really burning our hearts, and that is having ESL classes at our church, English as a second language. Our church is going to be moving into a new facility within a month and a half or so, and so we'll be beginning at least in January having ESL classes. So when you are praying for language missions, and you're praying for Dr. Nathaniel, would you please pray for my church, Lifeway Baptist Church in Fresno, as we are getting busy with some language works as well. Who knows what God has in store for our willingness to step out and do that in faith. Well, here's another individual you can pray for. His name is Chris Watson. And unfortunately, he is so new, we don't have a picture. I got on the internet, I'm not real good at it, but I Googled his name and I found some singers, one of whom was on American Idol, and he didn't look like he would probably be our Chris Watson, so I left his picture off. But anyway, he is the new director of the Telegraph Avenue Ministry Center in Oakland, California. He arrives tomorrow in Fresno to meet with his supervisor, who is Charles McClung, and then he will be leaving and living in the Telegraph Center. Hopefully it'll be a short period of time. And therein is our first prayer request for Chris. Housing. Chris and his wife, Colleen, have sold their home in Colorado, but they've not yet heard about two bids that they have on short sale homes in Antioch. Well, Antioch's quite a ways from Oakland, and so Chris is, they've talked about this, and he's going to be using BART, which is public transportation, to go back and forth. Their hope is that God will provide them a home and financial support so that his wife, Colleen, can be a stay-at-home mom. They have two young children. And so the second prayer request is for Chris and his acclimation into this new ministry. It is a neat ministry. Steve Watson was the director there before. He left, I believe it was around the middle to the end of June. And the director of missions for East Bay Association, who is Lyman Alexander, began going on Wednesdays and Fridays to supervise, that's the right word, the ministry there. On Wednesdays and Fridays, they do a dinner, a lunch or something like that for the homeless in the area, and so he needed to be there. So Lyman also is very excited that Chris is coming. But the Telegraph Center is part of where our CMO monies go. All right, now we're going to look at some other slides. We have an associational block party trailer. This is one that is owned by Los Angeles Association. We have 10 associations in our state out of the 31 who have received block party trailers through CMO offering. If you'll show the next slide. Thank you. It shows all the things that are in there. It comes self-contained. It is the slickest thing, I tell you. It has shelves in there, and it has a place for this and that, and everything goes back real neatly. It has a couple of bounce houses and a sound system. It has a popcorn machine and a snow cone machine and a grill and easy up canopies and just all kinds of cool things. So it is a great evangelistic tool that many of our associations are using. In the middle of the picture before was Charlie Corum. He is the Community Ministries Director. He is the fourth man. He's the one on the corner on your right. standing next to Gil De La Rosa. And I believe that that's his director of missions behind him, Mark Hammond. Well, Charlie Carman asked prayer for the Block Party Ministry, which is active 2 to 3 weeks of each month. He says, CMO has provided a trailer and supports me in training and resourcing our churches for block parties. It's a neat ministry. Another way that our CMO monies are used is feeding those who feed us. Your church may be familiar with that because it's to a lot of our migrant camps. These pictures that you'll be seeing in the next few slides are from the migrant camp in Parlier that was held the last week of July. The lady there with the red hat and the Saddle Ridge Ranch t-shirt is our church secretary. She's a member at another church in Fresno, but she was leading their craft time, and they were having a great time. Well, there were two churches that partnered to do vacation Bible school with the migrant kids. They had about between 60 and 80 every day. They met Monday through Friday mornings, and on Friday, they distributed new backpacks with school supplies, a New Testament, and new school clothes to each child that attended. Go to the next one. And then in the evening, there were two additional churches that came. One more. They were playing games, too, in the mornings. And then in the evening, they had dinner and an evangelistic service and fun and games for the kids. But that's the one you need to see. The kids would love to go on that slide. I would, I think, if I could get my nerve up to get up there. The one thing that's really interesting about the Parlier camp, some of the others may have it as well, but there's a church member at Annadale Baptist Church in Sanger. And through the years, she has established a relationship with many of the people who come back year after year to Parlier to work. And when some of the women get into town, they have her phone number, and they call her, and they say, "We're here." And she then begins her ministry each spring and summer with these ladies, and she goes and teaches Bible study to them. Well, the next grouping of things that you guys know about is disaster relief. We have some pictures here of some of the fires that took place in the last few years. You'll be able to read on the papers that you have in your bulletins today that talk about, or maybe they're back on the back table, they may be back there, that talk about Haiti and Chile and some of the other countries and states where many of the disaster relief volunteers have been. And then our last slide about disaster relief is there's a training coming up October 21st and 23rd in Manteca. So those of you who would like to go, get on the website and sign up. It's never too late. The next grouping of pictures I found on Central Valley's website, and these are from last year's missions trip to Guatemala. Pastor Martin shared with me that there's a trip to Russia this next year that you guys might, excuse me, to Japan next year that you guys might be interested in. In looking at mission trips out of state, how does that work with CMO? Well, God uses everything. You guys know that. Next slide. God uses our hard labor. He uses cooperation that we learn. He uses the fact that we're willing to go and to share Christ. One more slide. I understand that one of these gentlemen was very, very ill during this trip. So that's a lesson learned too. Probably these guys did stuff that they would have never done if they had stayed at home. Well, God uses everything. I've said that so many times now, you're probably tired of hearing me say it. But I want to share with you a little bit about my testimony. God wants to use us. He wants us to be obedient to what he asks us to do. Part of my testimony that I want to share is when I was the summer before ninth grade, I went to GA camp. Now it's Girls in Action. At that time, way back when, it was Girls Auxiliary. And unfortunately, California doesn't have GA camp. I wish we did. It'd be great. We had a missionary from my home state who shared that there were people in my state who didn't know Jesus. And I was flabbergasted because all of my friends, we went to the same church, we lived in the same area, we went to the same school. Most of the people that I knew went to church because I grew up in the Bible Belt. And I was just astonished that there were people in my state that didn't know Christ. God really touched my heart. And the following Sunday, during the invitation time, I went forward and I talked to my new pastor. He had been there 6 or 8 months, and shared with him that I didn't know what God wanted me to do, but I knew he wanted me to do something special for him, and that I was going to surrender my life however I needed to do that, and I was willing to be obedient to whatever God told me. Little did I know, after making that decision, it was almost 2 years later that God picked me up and dropped me off the end of the earth. You guys remember Acts 1:8? To the ends of the earth we are to go. Well, I was born and raised in Baytown, Texas, and the end of the earth this time, the first time, was Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Total different culture. I tease about I was an immigrant. I think maybe I really was. But God used all of my tears, all of my struggles with having to learn to make friends. I didn't know that from Texas because we grew up together. So that was something that God used. He taught me so many lessons just from moving. And he used all of those things. The first thing that he used was my new church youth group. My youth group in Texas, we went on mission trips, we went on choir tours, we did Back Your Bible Clubs, we were very active. And my youth group in Louisiana, we went to Glorieta, New Mexico. And we went and had a great week. I don't remember a thing about it, but you know, that was ancient history too. But what I did know when I got home was that I wanted to go back there the following summer and work. Well, I put in my application, and you know what? I got a letter of rejection. And about a week and a half later, I got a phone call. Someone didn't show up. Would I still be willing to come? I said, yes, I would. And you know, it's interesting how God works. I met a young man there from Albuquerque. He was on staff also that summer. The following summer, we ended up getting married. And that's where my something special, working with God, being obedient to what he called me to do. He was from Albuquerque. He wasn't finished with school. So when I got married, I got to move to Albuquerque. Again, using that lesson on how to make friends. And there were some difficult times. I didn't know anyone. I really didn't know my in-laws. As you can imagine, here I am in Baton Rouge. He's in Albuquerque. We saw each other a couple of times during that year. We knew each other. I really didn't know him. So none of you who are about that age, don't you be thinking about it. Pastor Gary will be happy to counsel you on that. But God has blessed. He's blessed our marriage. There was a time about 3 months after we were married. Daryl was in college. I said that already. But he was also a youth director at Fruit Avenue Baptist Church in Albuquerque. Here I was. I was homesick already. And there were other things probably going on that if I stop and thought about, I might be able to remember. But the one thing that my point with this is to share with you that there was one Wednesday night. We'd had Wednesday night dinner. And I was walking outside, and there was a grouping of senior men. And one of the gentlemen said, "Hey, Beverly, I understand you're from Texas." I said, yeah. I was born and raised in Baytown, just outside of Houston. because I didn't know him. And he said, oh, really? My brother was a pastor in Baytown for over 20 years. Well, you can imagine where this is going. I was talking to J.B. Jordan. His brother was A.L. Jordan. He was my pastor. He baptized me. You know, I don't remember how I reacted. I jumped up and down, and, you know, I don't remember any of that. But I stand before you this morning just absolutely overwhelmed that God took a moment to let me know. He knew exactly where I was. He knew exactly what I was experiencing. And he wanted to confirm with me that what I was doing was what I was supposed to be doing. No, I'm not going to tease and say, you have to know my husband to hear me say that, but he'll get me for that one. But I do want to share with you also that God has led in many ways through the years. 26 years ago, we began a church in Winnemucca, Nevada, out in the sagebrush. They celebrated their 25th anniversary last year. We were able to go and be with them. God has so many points in my life. I can't even begin to tell you, because I was obedient, because I said yes, that he came and he confirmed and he led. And he continues to do that. This morning, God knows exactly where you are. Only you and he knows what he's asking you to do. I pray that even this morning that you would say yes to him. Will you choose to be obedient to what he's asking? Is he asking you to pray? We have a prayer guide. If it's not in the bulletin, it's on the back table. There's also a little keychain round thing. Take one of those. Put it on your keychain. Whenever you find it, put it in your pocket or in your purse. Whenever you come across it, pray for California, for the missionaries, for ministries, for your pastor. Pray for things that are going on. Perhaps God's laying on your heart that he wants you to prayer walk your neighborhood. Some of you maybe don't want to prayer walk or can't prayer walk. Maybe you can prayer drive your neighborhood. Maybe he's asking you to begin a prayer time more diligently on a daily basis. You know what he's asking you to do. Well, is God asking you to go? Is he asking you to tutor a child at a local school to begin ESL classes? You guys have got a lot of things going on. You do Celebrate Recovery, and that touches people's lives. There's so many things that you can be doing. Is he asking you to go on next year's mission trip or to sponsor someone else to go? Or is God asking you to give? You know, we get to be creative in this day. I mentioned earlier about coupons. What about recyclables? I'm totally blown away at how many people throw away money. You can save up your bottles, your cans, all that stuff, and give it to CMO. What about, this is probably Tinder, walk into work, or using public transportation, or riding your bike, doing that one day a week, and for the monies that you save in your gasoline, giving that to CMO. God will touch your heart with what he wants you to do. He does want us to reach our state, and the Great Commission does begin here. What about you? Will you be obedient? Let's bow for prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, it is our privilege to come before you this morning. We come humbly, but we come rejoicing, Lord, in that we have a place to come to worship you, that we know you. And Lord, I pray that you would place on our hearts what you want each of us to do, how we can be obedient to you. I pray that we will respond to you and what your calling is on each of our lives. And I ask this in our precious Jesus' name. Amen.
State missions' emphasis is not just about giving money. That's the easiest thing to do. State missions' emphasis is also about thinking. It's about praying. It's about considering what God will have you do. Missions and ministry. It's not just about those who go into ministry like myself as a vocation. It's not about men doing things that men do. Beverly is a testimony to that. There are hundreds of women that are involved in state missions. Individuals whom we have contacted who want to come to this church and do English as a second language seminars to get us trained so that we can reach our community for Christ, teaching people the English language. We've also been talking about having classes for individuals to come, citizenship classes for people to come and learn how they can become a citizen of the United States. Disaster relief. Some of you have asked me about disaster relief training in Manteca in October. Go to the website, call me, talk to me, we'll get you signed up to go. People who go to places where there is distress, places where nature has done its worst, and people are hurting, people are dying, people are hungry, and we can step in and be a part of the ministry there. When Katrina hit in Louisiana, the Southern Baptist Disaster Relief Group, they were the first group there ministering to people hard hit by Katrina. We're involved in those kinds of things. We did this year. We didn't have Vacation Bible School here at the church. Terry and her team took Vacation Bible School out into the community over 6 different apartment complexes we went to, sharing the gospel of Jesus in Atwater as well as in Winton, talking to people about Jesus. Chaplaincies, working in the hospitals, working in the prisons, in the jails, soup kitchens, working in the women's shelter, in the men's shelter. All kinds of ministries that we're involved with in California missions. And you can be a part of that. It's not just for people like me. It's for every one of us. Getting involved where God is working, joining Him there, and getting involved with Him. So State Missions Month is really a question about what are you doing in the kingdom of God? What is God calling you to do? We've got teenagers who can be involved. Young adults, median adults, senior adults, the broad spectrum of ages as well as the broad spectrum of ministries. And the question really comes down to this: what are you willing to do? What is God calling you to do to become involved in reaching our state for Jesus? I'm going to ask us to stand, if you will.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.